Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to this Hope is Alive program, coming to you live again from the Radio Ranch this February 24th. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
And thanks for joining us. And good evening, Mr. Cox.
Good evening, Richard. And good evening, Chris. Great to be with you again.
Glad to be here.
Same here. And Chris, I think you got a couple callers calling in. When they do, I'll sure let you know.
And if you'd like to call in and ask any questions, you can call in at 307-745-5913. How's your week been, Mr. Cox?
Oh, it's been great. It's 15 exorcisms Monday night using the teams. And then I did one yesterday. I didn't do one today, even though I did visit with some a gentleman, actually a chaplain of the police department that has situations that he runs into. I spent about an hour with him there at the office. But it's high adventure as usual, Chris.
You said the chaplain at the police department. How have other ministers received this ministry?
Well, this particular chaplain used to be one of our team leaders some years back. So he's very familiar with this works of Jesus, the casting out of evil spirits and healing the sick, doing inner healing. He has a lot of inner healing needs, as he told me, with the members, the staff, and the policemen, but also the families of policemen and other families. He's called in on just about every tough situation, you know, where they need a chaplain, and so he lives a pretty rugged life.
Well, that must also be a blessing to see people set free in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, yes, and of course, so many people need comfort. They need supernatural peace. We went over the steps of inner healing today, how people can be healed of the bad feelings connected with certain events. They still have the memory of the event, but our Jesus will come in and supernaturally heal the bad feelings associated with it. It's called inner healing. We do a lot of that in our ministry, and it is, of course, a wonderful thing to have available, this chaplain, as he was explaining, that I went over it's been probably 3 years since I talked to him and went over the updated things that we're doing and all. You know how we're constantly learning.
Yes. Well, how is inner healing tied to unforgiveness?
Well, they're all part of it, of course. The people need to be told how they do have to forgive, even though they don't feel like it. As Jesus said in Matthew 18:34-35, if you do not forgive, you will be turned to the tormentors. And if you keep carrying that unforgiveness, it is a perpetual door open to allow the demonic to enter. It's not worth it. When we as individuals, having been made in God's image, we can choose anything. Well, we can choose to forgive if we wish. And, of course, it is a better thing to forgive so we're not tormented. So that's what we're always having to deal with in our Monday night meeting, where we minister typically to 15 or so people. Most everybody that comes has a certain amount of unforgiveness they need to deal with, and they open that door for the tormentors, that is, the evil spirits, the demons, to come in to torment them. So that's just one of the areas.
Well, would you think that, or do you think, or has it been your experience that Satan, knowing the scriptures, finds ways to create situations in your life where you might even walk in more unforgiveness?
Well, absolutely. And of course, he has this ability to speak into people's, and I'm speaking of Christians, but anyone's mind, but especially Christians, we being the targets, and to speak into our heads with lies that Satan and his demons are hoping that will buy the truth. It's negative kind of things that would try to lead us down the wrong path. But things like the person's hearing, well, nobody loves me, I'm a failure at this and that, I'll never be able to do what I wanted to do, negative things. So it's important that we read the Word, learn who we are in Jesus and the Scriptures, so we can counter those lies. They seem to come at every Christian.
I had someone speaking with me the other day about how it seems that all those that aren't walking with the Lord have it so much better than they do. They're driving better vehicles, they're better living in better houses, they have more peace, it seems, than a lot of Christians that we know.
Well, that's often the case. You see, they're not a target. When you become a born-again Christian, you become born into the body of Christ. You have your ticket to heaven, which is the most important of all this. But then you find out also, hopefully you find out, probably 90% of the Christians have not found out, that in the name of Jesus we have power over all the enemy to deal with these demons. So we are in a war, whether we like it or not. We've had generational doors open where demons have come through to us right at birth, not to mention the unforgiveness door we were just talking about, and other doors. So it is a war, but we've been given all the tools to deal with it and to have victory.
Well, do you see where Christians out there seem to have been trained to accept the defeat as part of the Christian walk?
Well, they just never learned who they are in Jesus. And I'll have to say, Chris, I was exactly like that up to age 44. I was born again when I was 13, but I was age 44 before I ever got introduced to this works of Jesus and the commands that Jesus gave believers to do. And when we do them, we win. We start enjoying life abundant. So many Christians have never enjoyed the abundant life that Jesus said he brought to us. It's a sad thing.
Yes, it is. And our caller is on the line, and I believe this is Brian.
Hi.
Brian? Is that you, Brian?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Brian. Yes, I hear you fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well, yes.
Okay. Brian's in Nebraska. Chris is on the line with us, Brian, as well.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Chris is in North Carolina. Brian's in Nebraska.
Wow.
I'm in Oklahoma City. Richard's in Wyoming. So we're kind of spread around. Such is the modern world.
Wow.
Well, thanks for calling in, Brian. And
you're welcome.
I'm glad you came on. I was hoping that you might kind of share how you got introduced to this subject of deliverance, how you saw it was a reality, and what your experience has been in deliverance thus far in your ministry.
Yeah, the deliverance ministry and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and walking a life in Christ in all of that started back when I was a young boy. My mom was a Pentecostal mom, and it was a crazy home because we had a dad who was a Lutheran and a mom who was a Pentecostal, and I could have gone one way or the other, but my mom introduced me to it, and I have a Pentecostal grandma as well who I say her prayers have kept us all alive. She's been amazing. But they introduced me to all this stuff. And then, and Everett,
yeah.
You know my uncle, Jim, who was in Oklahoma City, he actually introduced me physically to this stuff, taking me to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit as a 16-year-old boy, exposed to the deliverance ministry. And then after that, I started having dreams of delivering people from demons, and it's just been a crazy ride in that area since then. Got introduced to my wife in the late 80s, and she was also introduced to this ministry. Patricia is her name. And while in college, we were ministering deliverance, not knowing a thing about this. We were just told we could do it, so we were praying for people and seeing some freedom there. After we got married, we've been praying for people in the deliverance ministry, seeing some freedom in people's lives throughout the course of the last 25 years of our marriage. But not until about 4 to 6 years ago, we were introduced to a gentleman out in San Diego with Freedom Through Forgiveness Ministries, Nathan Daniels, his name. And he introduced us to some of the stuff that's similar to what you do, Everett. And then we started to see more fruit in this ministry. And then I was introduced to you, Everett, I think it was probably 2 years ago. And the Lord has given you some amazing insight and materials in that book of yours, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And when we combined that with some of the stuff that we were taught, and primarily the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we finally started to see people get set free quickly. It's fun to go into these meetings and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and do His thing. The door openers, you know, the door openers that you talk about, doing all of that, the Holy Spirit moves quickly in people, especially when their hearts are fertile for this. And I don't know exactly what you'd want to hear in the form of testimony, Everett, but I guess that's a real quick synopsis of what I've been exposed to.
Well, yeah, that's exciting, Brian, to hear how you started out so early. I didn't have the slightest, as I mentioned earlier, until age 44. So you've had a real head start on it. Well, maybe you could share any other experiences you've had, if you've had any deliverance yourself or others in your family or other experiences you've had.
Yeah, Brian, let me interrupt you for a second. A lot of our listening audience, this is a brand new subject to them. So testimonies are very powerful for them because they're hearing someone speak about how the Lord either delivered them or delivered someone in their family, or that person was able to deliver and set someone free. We've had powerful testimony where someone was in bondage for 60 years and then in one evening was set free from that bondage. This is what our people need to hear, that the power of the testimony.
Okay, thank you for that. myself, pornography was a big issue as a, for multitudes of guys out there. I fought that and had prayed for deliverance in that for years. But within the last 2 to 3 years, especially after coming and seeing you, Everett, and using some of this, I've been set free from the bondage of pornography. And that stuff left me instantly, and it's not even been an issue for me. I'm going to use an example of the other night. We have a middle-aged lady who was in prostitution. She was forced into prostitution by her boyfriend. She had several abortions, two to be exact, not several. She was controlled, tormented, and she got out of that mess. And we walked through the door closers with her. You know, she had soul ties from all these men she was with. She had problems with unforgiveness. She had all the problems that come with that stuff. And now she's a born-again believer. She loves the Lord, but she was still carrying this stuff. And as we were going through the deliverance process with her, she forgave. That was so key. She forgave from the heart. Expressed, as far as inner healing, expressed the pain that she went through. And then we started praying deliverance in the name of Jesus. You know, Luke 10:19, been given all authority over the power of the enemy. And these demons started manifesting inside of her, and they were screaming, and no, we don't want to go, we don't want to go. And she could hear this chaos inside of her. And as she would renounce specific things, and again, the forgiveness thing, then these things started to come out. And by the time she was done with it, she was really feeling free. And then she got to an inner healing part where the Holy Spirit just told us, let me minister to her. And the Holy Spirit came in and ministered to her and actually visually showed her the children that she had that were aborted. She got to see them. She described these children. They were in the arms of Jesus, and she knew that they were okay, and she's excited to get to see them someday. That was so healing for her, and she's been so at peace after this. She's a changed person because of it. And that's just one of the...
That's awesome, Brian. Wow. And she's getting what we often call the Jesus overhaul. Well, who doesn't need that kind of thing? Not everyone's had as a situation like she'd had, but most people have had doors open, including the generational doors, and they're tormented with about 36 spirits. That's what we typically find. Well, it's no wonder they're better when they're cast out. How could you not be? And they are.
Amen.
And they can start going forward in their life, finally enjoying life abundant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome. Now, did you have a case tonight, Brian, that you ministered?
Yeah, she has had some visual problems, which is fairly new from her. She's a precious sister from Africa. The Holy Spirit showed up. It was intense. And so we prayed for her, and the Lord gave us some words over her. We didn't know anything about her. And the words the Lord gave me over her were abandonment and rejection. And found out after we'd mentioned that she said, absolutely, her husband's still in Africa, and she's here. And she said that he has not been communicating with her. And there's been a tremendous amount of pain and abandonment with that. So we're still in process with her. She did receive some healing in her eyes tonight. She was able to read some words on the page that she wasn't able to read without reading glasses tonight, but it wasn't a full healing. So we're going to continue to work with her, I think, and go through the doors, open and closing doors. We're going to go through a lot of that stuff with her and watch the Lord completely heal her.
Well, Brian, let me ask you this. With pornography, with abortions, with things like the lady had gone through, forced into prostitution, mm-hmm. there's an incredible amount of guilt that people carry. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people, even after they start walking that Christian walk, are saying, you know, why can't I get it? And then Satan eggs that on and tells you, well, why can't you get it? Because you're really not a Christian. Can you deal with that just a little bit and speak to that issue?
Well, that brings all kinds of different emotions into it for those gals that are involved in that. Can you please ask that one more time?
How do you talk to people with the guilt that they seem to carry? Because once they become a Christian, they are still not walking fully. There might still be that bondage of pornography. There still might be that guilt from the abortions. There's not that freedom and abundance that our Lord promised us. How do you deal with that when you're dealing with people that have been in those bondages and still are, even though they've become a Christian?
Yeah, there's so much self unforgiveness. So much self-hate and shame with that. We just proclaim scriptures over them that describe who they are in God and who God is to them and how God sees them. You know, Everett's got a list of I ams in one of his brochures. You know, one of the things is, you are a child of God. You are redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we start proclaiming scriptures over them and then ask the Holy Spirit just to speak to them and come and reveal them to them who they are in Him and He is in them. And that's, you know, that's the way we've approached it. Until the Holy Spirit speaks to them in those areas, it's really hard for them to get through that.
Yes, I was going to say inner healing plays a big part in that, and that's what Brian is saying. When Jesus comes and speaks to them about those situations, he brings that healing of the bad feelings like guilt and unworthiness and so on. He comes in and heals those bad feelings, where the person still has a memory again, but they don't have the bad feelings connected to it. And what that does, it undermines the demons of guilt and unworthiness, etc., to where they're very easy to cast out. Sometimes the demons will go just when you do the inner healing. Other times the demons are still sitting there in a nice warm house until somebody tells them to go in Jesus' name, which we do, of course, in the deliverance part itself.
So John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you."
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's our Jesus. Well, it's high adventure, and in fact, this week I ministered to two football players. The first one was on Monday night. He was from Nebraska. He and his mom had driven down here. He was in high school, age 16. But by the way, he was 6'6 at age 16. must be
wow.
Something about the corn in Nebraska or something. It's hard to believe he was just 16. He had a beard, you know. But he played football up there in high school. But he had issues with his father, who was never there, never apparently said I love him and all that, you know. And he had a feeling of abandonment and neglect and unworthiness. As I ministered to him, all that came out. And we did inner healing on that, and then I was able to cast those related spirits out. He probably yawned 50 times as we went through the ministry session Monday night, and of course there's no way you wouldn't be better, because most usually a yawn represents a demon departing. And then yesterday I ministered to a young man in the office, in the ministry office, who's on the starter team at University of Oklahoma here, and he's had anger issues and violent issues, and it all rooted back to his dad again. Both those cases were rather parallel, and going through the same process of inner healing and all, where Jesus came in and healed the bad feelings, which undermined the demons again, then I was able to cast them out, and he yawned them out. And he yawned and yawned and yawned. So it's rather interesting, though, how those two cases were parallel, and they both even played football.
Oh, wow.
Oop. I think this father issue that has developed across the land, or I should say the fatherless issue, is caused a lot of torment among our people. And, you know, fortunately we have that scripture that's a promise of our Lord where he says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So that's something that we can look forward to happening, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. But right now, the whole system in Babylon is using it to enslave our people and to further torment them and take them captive.
Yes. Amen.
So true. Amen. It's probably worse than
it's
ever been.
Is it okay if I talk a little bit about the satanic ritual abuse cases that we've dealt with?
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
On the other side of the coin, refusing to forgive, refusing to do it God's way, we've had two women who've gone through terrible satanic ritual abuse that's indescribable. I don't think I could even talk about some of the stuff on the radio. It's so bad. These two women that we've worked with, the first one refused to forgive, absolutely, and she was absolutely tormented, demonized. Her dreams were full of demonic ritual torture, and she refused to forgive, and ultimately she ended up dying of pulmonary embolism. I'm not saying that the pulmonary embolism was caused by the demon and the forgiveness and stuff, but she was tormented till the day she died. And the most current one, again, she's refusing to forgive. She really does not have a complete trust in Jesus, and she's refusing in certain areas to do it God's way and kind of digging in her heels. And she is completely tormented, completely demonized. Her dreams, her nights are sleepless, full of flashbacks. And it's really neat to see, though, in small areas, like she'll forgive one person. She'll renounce ungodly soul ties. She'll go through inner healing, and that one person, any demons that have been sent and that had legal rights or had been sent on assignment to attack her in relation to them, these things come out not just through burping, not just through any of that, but she goes and she vomits and she vomits and she vomits. So for me, it's so neat to see when we do things as the people of God, his way, based on his word, he sets us free. But when we choose not to obey his word, I mean, torment comes with it. And we see physical, emotional, spiritual torment like you can't even describe in these women. And my heart goes out to them. So Everett, or any of you gentlemen, can you speak to that maybe in your history?
Well, yes, and we deal with, and of course, so many times out of satanic ritual abuse, you will have multiple personalities where mm-hmm. those are not demons, rather they're a mechanism that kicks in during that horrible abuse and torture it to enable the person to cope during that period. An alter personality comes in, and is the problem that happens is, as years go by, those multiple personalities, or alters as they're often called, or protectors, they'll surface in extreme cases at different times, and may even have different names. And people will lose an hour or two or three when those multiple personalities are up. And so there is a method of praying where those alter personalities can be integrated into the person. And we deal with that pretty often. I'm happy to say not every case, not every evening, not every Monday, but we do move run into them, and our Jesus will still set him free and integrate those altars, making the person whole again.
Well, has it been the experience of both of you that the satanic rituals, it's not really a rare case? There are a lot of them out there.
Yes, there's a lot more going on than we'd realize.
Yeah, it's been surprising how much of it there is.
Well, Brian, I want to thank you for the call. Our other caller is on the line, and I would like to just be in touch with you, if you don't mind. I'll get your information from Mr. Cox, and I've got something I'd like to send you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Well, Eric, are you on the line with us?
Hey, Everett.
Hi, Eric.
I'm here.
Thanks for calling in. Good.
My pleasure.
Thanks for calling
in,
brother. Thanks.
Happy to be here.
Hoped you would call in, yes. Hoped you would call in and maybe share. You're fairly new to this area of the gospel, this works of Jesus called deliverance, and it's been fairly recent that you got introduced to it, but I thought it might be good if you could just share what you've seen happen and how you got introduced to it, and some of the results you might have seen take place.
Happy to share. It's been about a month now that I came to the Monday night service, and a friend of mine introduced you to me when I was telling about some of the issues I was having in my sleep at night. Just waking up and just really, I would say, tormented, with coughing, choking, seeing things in the night, things like that. And it's something that I've kind of dealt with for a number of years. And so I thought I'd go check out the Monday night service. And I can say the good news is it's been going great ever since. I've been on this journey really the past few years. And just understanding, the real world, the world at war, as far as the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, and just understanding who I am as a child of God. But I didn't understand until a month ago that I had a role where I can command these spirits to go and to live free from them in my life. So it's been really good.
And you've been a Christian a long time, haven't you, Eric?
Yes. Yes, was saved
and
as a young child.
I
was probably 5 years old when I was saved.
Yeah.
My mother, actually. Yeah, at the bedside. So.
And you're in a ministry yourself.
Yes, I'm involved in a ministry. We use John Eldridge teachings, and the ministry is called True North. And it's a great ministry where we are a part of just helping men understand who they are as men of God. And find freedom themselves, and that's really been the last few years. But just learning how to pray, learning how to pray prayers to get things done, and to live free in that way. God had taken me so far until a month ago, and just to see that there's a whole other level of power in the name of Jesus that we have. Just to really have those things that would kind of come back. It could be a bad day or. Things that seem to kind of be bugging you, and to know that doesn't have to be there anymore, and to truly be set free from these spirits and things that had rights into my life that I didn't even realize were there. I always thought of it as more external and could, resist those things, but to think that it could be something that I was giving rights to me through, whether it was sin or, whatever those doors would be that I had open. And that through prayer and closing the doors to my life and then commanding those spirits to go and to find freedom in that has been tremendous. And so it's something that I look forward to taking back to the group of guys that I do ministry with and helping more men find freedom.
Well, Eric, yes. How long have these things been tormenting you at night? And did you find what doors had been open or what from your past was there to make that manifest in your life?
They always say it's kind of a joke.
not really a joke, but when I got married, is when I started having sleeping problems. I didn't know it until I got married and I had somebody sleeping in bed with me. And I'd wake her up and just be, you know, running around the room and telling her I'm seeing things. And then as the time went on, it's been about 13 years now that I've been married. And then I began to, when I would wake up in the middle of the night, I would remember it. Even seeing some things in hotel rooms, you know, even my children in the house that we're in now, being afraid and seeing things in their, you know, in the hallways or whatever. And, you know, it's something that is pretty cool. Was able to be free of all that now. None of that really exists in our home anymore. It's gone, and it's great to have that environment and atmosphere that doesn't have those things here, and to know that, you know, I can summon the angels of the Lord and have them work with me and keep these things away. As far as the doors that opened it up, the main thing that I going through the ministry that I recall was this head demon torment, and it was something that was allowing. It's kind of controlling and allowing these things to come in and tormenting me, bringing sickness and anger and things into my wife and other things like that. And so once that was removed and all the other spirits that were there, that stuff's been gone, and it's been really great.
And it was pretty easy to do, wasn't it, Eric?
It was really easy to do. Yeah, and the cool thing, my wife actually, she went through it with me. And that night, she still had one kind of hanging around, and we just prayed together, and I commanded it to go out of her. I had to put the Bible on her neck and some different things like that, but I just learned that night and commanded the spirit to go in the name of Jesus, and it left her. And it was a really cool experience. Probably not as cool for her as it was for me, but it was a pretty cool experience to get to be a part of that and already begin to understand that power and that I could do it too.
Well, the biggest blessing is these men that you're going to be able to set free with that knowledge.
Very excited about that.
Yes.
You know, we've found a lot of freedom over the past few years through the camps that we do, and it's been great, but just to understand it on this other level, and that it's not just, you know, we would do door-closing type prayers, but we would never take it to the level of commanding things to go. And even praying for healing and some of those other things that we can do in the name of Jesus. And so very excited to take this back to the guys.
Amen.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's exactly what Jesus has in mind for all of us as Christians. That John 14:12, Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." He has turned it over to us to do it directly in his name. And that is an awesome thing to get hold of. So, praise God, what a future you got there, Eric.
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, even when things want to come back and bug us, you know, it's fun to see my wife. She'll grab me and I'll see her, you know, commanded things to go and just praying, and it's just brought us closer together in our marriage, and it's just been a really good thing. So,
well, Mr. Goss, can you address that these things will try to sneak back into your life?
Well, yes, that's not uncommon at all. In fact, we teach there's 7 keys for staying free, and that's on our website, by the way. Under and the website is deliveranceusa.com, and you'll find that under ministry tools. And so it's a pretty common thing to have something come back. We don't really have it down to a perfect science. We're gaining on it all the time, but it's important for the person to realize the enemy may try to make a run back at the house. Well, the good news is, once you learn who you are in Jesus, that Luke 10:19, if you memorize that, say it out loud, it pounds the enemy right off. But then to command whatever it is that you think is trying to come back. So if it's fear, or some kind of anger or depression or whatever, the best you can identify it, command it to go, and it would usually only take two or three commands, and it'll blow off. So that's important for all of us to learn. We're in the war zone until we go to heaven, so it's really great to learn to battle. Sadly, 90% of the Christian body is very vulnerable to the demons because they don't even know about the war, most of them, and they don't know who they are in Jesus and the weapons and the power that we have to deal with them. We all got a big teaching job ahead of us because the gospel is actually larger and more to it than we thought. Many people have cut themselves short.
Amen. Well, Eric, I want to thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. Appreciate you sharing your testimony. Anything you'd like to close with before you go?
I just want to encourage anyone that's listening. For me, I think it was kind of that fear of the unknown, and it's not anything to be afraid of. And it's a great thing to know who you are in Christ, and that you do have, with the name of Jesus, all power to live free. And even though we are at war, as Everett says, we have the bigger gun. So learn how to shoot it.
Well, you know, it's amazing how many people will claim to be a Christian soldier and think they've got no one to fight.
We do. But the good news is it's already won. You just got to pull the trigger.
Well, that's what I like. It's one of my favorite sayings. Is you just, all you got to do is shoot.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, thanks you, Eric.
Eric. Blessings to you.
Have a good night. You too, Everett. Bye.
Good night.
Well, before we had our callers come in, you were getting into your testimony. And I'd like for you to share just a little bit about how you started the whole ministry. I know we've talked about it before, but we have new listeners every week. And why you ended up with Deliverance Ministries.
Well, actually, I, for the most part, did them in my mortgage office, you might recall, Chris.
Yes.
As I got introduced to this, there was a church doing it, and so I started sitting in with them, learning, and then finally I joined that church, and I did do some ministry over there in the evenings, and then I started doing the Monday night meetings in my mortgage office after hours, using that space, and then finally I was doing one about every night and realized I needed help, that I can't do this continuously. And then in those early years, we weren't that good at it. It was not unusual to go into the wee hours of the night, and we didn't know how to prepare the people and close doors and all that. We just knew to figure out the likely names of the demons and command them to go. And even that helped people. But as we were to learn over the years, there's a lot easier way to do it, and it's more efficient and more lasting, and that's what we do today. And so I formed the ministry in 1984, Deliverance Ministries, Inc., and we started doing the weekly meetings on Monday night, where I didn't have to do one every night of the week or even during the day. And that's what we've done. We did 716 exorcisms last year, and those were one-on-one with ministers that we've trained. And, you know, what's neat to find out, this kind of ministry is not a special gift. It is normal Christianity. All born-again Christians can do what we're talking about here. And the need is much, and the workers are few. It's easy to look at that problem list, which often turn out to be the names of demons. That's on our website under Ministry Tools, problem list. It's also under the self-ministry page. But to look at that list, we all know people around us that have those problems, and more times than not, those problems turn out to be the names of demons. So we need an army doing this. We're still shy of enough members of the army, the spiritual army. Amen.
Well, we could start and have it multi-level deliverance. It will only deliver you if you promise to go to deliver too.
There you go. Good idea.
There won't be any money in it, but, you know, it won't take but a few weeks before we'll have this whole country taken care of.
Right. There you go. Well, you know, we are working on that because we're training teams, and they're out there ministering, and they're sharing and teaching other people. So it is spreading that way.
Amen. Well, you know, Jesus sent them out two by two. Mm-hmm. And look what 12 people did to the whole world.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a big downline.
If any of our listeners out there would like to find out more about deliverance and be trained to deliver, there's such great training tools on the website. And you can even speak with Mr. Cox. I'm sure he'd love to talk to you, walk you through things. You can go to deliveranceusa.com, send an email from there, watch the videos, send questions to them. This is a ministry that our people need to walk in. You know,
the book, Chris, that a lot of people would find interesting with the steps. It's a book manual.
Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus.
And that's available through SFA.
Yep. Through Scriptures for America. You can order it online. You can send Richard an email at preacher@sfaw.com. But if anyone would like to call in, it's 307-745-5913. We'd love to hear from you, hear any questions that you have tonight. Now, Mr. Cox, in all of the years that you've been doing this, you've crossed a lot of denominational lines. You've crossed probably a lot of political lines. And what do you see as the future, and what is it going to take to bring all of this into just your standard everyday walk of Christianity?
Well, I think doing what we're doing, Chris, it does network out like you're talking about. And we have the advantage today of all the medias being online. Just think of what we didn't have not many years back. And we have them today to spread the good news of this works of Jesus called deliverance. You know, we've got so much available to us, just like what we're doing tonight. This is on shortwave radio. You can get it on satellite. You can hear it on the telephone. You know, you hear it online. We didn't have that but just a few years ago to be able to do something like this. And of course, on the shortwave station, they're 100,000 watts of power out of the Tennessee area, getting all over the country and also in other countries. So I think what we're doing is good. We just need to multiply it more, and the more it multiplies, the more it'll multiply.
Well, we're certainly in that time where Jesus said the fields are ripe and we need laborers.
Yes. I was just thinking about these two cases I had this week where they were both football players. They both had anger issues and guilt issues and unworthiness issues. And of course, those are all common in almost every ministry case that we do. But I'm going to be interested in following up with them to see the changes. That's the fun part of this. I try to call them within a few days or a week and find out what they've seen change in their lives. And again, with those instructions, like we were talking to there with Eric, if something does try to come back, don't just sit there. We really do have all power, we've got to use it for it to work. And the way we work the power is to speak out in the name of Jesus and command whatever we think it is that's trying to come back on us, like anger or guilt or unworthiness. Whatever we detect, don't just sit there, shoot it in Jesus' name.
Well, dealing with the fact that they do try to come back, you know, when we have something occur in our head, it can be a thought that's from God. It can be a thought that is we generate, or it can be a thought that the enemy generates. Jim
yes.
Waltrip gave me an excellent paper, and he talks about perish the thought. Can you address
yes.
that for just a little bit?
Well, sure. There's a live program out that seems to exist even after deliverance, and I think it's on every Christian. And that live program is from the enemy, and they have a way of somehow pushing thoughts into our heads. Do you remember seeing little captions in the past when it would show a little spirit sitting on a person's shoulder talking into their ear? Have you ever
yes.
seen that, Chris? Well, that's probably the way it is, because these come into the person's head, and they think it's them thinking it. Now, some people are actually hearing voices, run into that some, but the majority of them are, it's their thoughts, and it's negative kinds of thoughts, like you'll never be able to do this or that, nobody loves you, you're a failure, etc.
You're not a Christian.
Kind of things. Yeah, you're not a Christian, you lost your salvation, etc. Just negative stuff. And a certain number of people that are not strong in the Bible and who we are in Jesus, they'll if they hear it enough in their head, they'll start picking it up as a truth. And of course, that's a great door to the enemy. And of course, those lies are saying, do this, do that, take yourself out, you're no good, nobody will miss you, go ahead and commit suicide, or commit murder. We run into spirits of murder. One of these cases I had this week actually had, he had circled the arson fascination with fire group, and we run into that. And it's just all kinds of demons out there pushing these lies on the Christians, telling them to do this and do that, and a certain number of them will do it. I remember one case, a lady that was hearing a voice in her head, and this voice was saying, I am the Holy Spirit, now if you love me, cut your arm. And I told her later after the deliverance, the demon disclosed that, actually. But I told her afterwards, I said, where's your common sense? Does that sound like our Jesus or the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. You know, but you run into that, and people hear that enough in their head, they start buying it as a truth. And that's going on all the time, trying to push us down the wrong path.
Well, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Exactly. That's it. And that the deceiver is the main spirit that's causing that. And then he has his spirits under his authority, like demons of lies or lying demons, and delusion, blinding, but just a grouping of spirits to be just under him. Each head demon, well, I say head demon or group, head of a group demon, will have an entourage of usually so many demons. And then you sometimes will even have an executive officer and then a commanding officer, or we call it the head demon. And one of the techniques I use is getting that head demon up and interrogating it as a prisoner of war as to what's going on under the demons under his authority, trying to find out if there's any doors that are not closed, and deal with that if they are still there open, and then also breaking any satanic assignments that have not been canceled.
You know, it seems to me that there are more and more cases of cutting. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, it's surprising how often we run into that. It seems to be mostly with women, I've noticed. Yeah, I hear that quite a bit. It's self-mutilation. And it's demonic. It's just another way of stealing, killing, and destroying.
Well, it's my opinion that tattoos are of the same ilk. Every town that I go through seems to have 3, 4, and 5 tattoo parlors, and people now are being tattooed from their head to their toe.
Yes. And that is defiling their temple.
Yes.
And I have found out when I'm interrogating and I get the head demon up, which I can't do with everybody, but about one out of three, I can get the head demon up and interrogated as a prisoner of war. And, I'll find out that's the situation, that the tattoos are a door for demons to be there. But I've also learned this, that through anointing with oil that's blessed, that we can neutralize those tattoos spiritually.
Amen.
And so we do that whenever a person has a lot of tattoos, is to neutralize them. And if I've got the head demon up, I can confirm it's neutralized, because while they're inherent liars, you can pin them down when they tell you something. Will you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? And they'll say
Amen.
Yes or no to that. And if I catch them lying, then I use God's angels, whom they can see, warring angels to jab them a few times with their swords, and that usually straightens them out.
Well, I want to thank you for being with me again tonight and on Hope is Alive. Please join us again next week. It's 8 o'clock for worship music, 9 o'clock for prayer, and 10 o'clock for Hope is Alive here on Scriptures for America. Thank you, Pastor Cox.
Thank you, Brother Chris. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness.